Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 128 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. It's another mega episode. I know I'm saying that every episode recently, but it just, the action never stops, which is a bad thing, but turning into a good thing. But anyway, it's another big episode full of a lot of information as it applies to gun owners. I'm going to be bringing on Tracy as usual, but before we get started, I want to thank some of the companies in our community that make the CCFR Radio Podcast possible. CTOMS Academy provides life-saving training in trauma care and human performance, perfect for outdoor enthusiasts, hunters, shooters. You can check them out at ctomsinc.com. That's ctomsinc.com. And if you're in the market for firearms, ammunition, cold weather gear, you name it, you'll find it all through our friends at North Pro Sports. You can check them out at northprosports.com. That's northprosports.com. And also, our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR. So make sure you check them out at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. And of course, Vortex, the force of optics. We'd like to thank our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the CCFR Radio Podcast. You can check out all their exceptional products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. All right, so I've got a few things to go through with you before I bring Tracy on. Now, first thing is some good news. So we have a court date. So after 2 years of spending a pile of money, putting a tremendous amount of effort into taking it to the government in some meaningful way, not just filing an application and sitting on our hands, you know, until the court date shows up, let the government do whatever it wants. We've really put a lot of effort into taking it to them. And as I said before, I mean, I'd like to think that it's changed their behavior, but I'm not sure of that. We finally have a court date. So there's finally a light at the end of the tunnel. So we are scheduled for 8 days in federal court in Ottawa, April 11th through the 20th. So that's like 6 months away. We're hoping to be in court right now, actually. But as I mentioned, probably in a previous podcast, there's a lot of people suing the federal government of Canada for a variety of reasons right now, and the courts are really backed up. So, you know, read into that what you will, but it's kind of interesting. So that's at least something definite. So in 6 months, we'll get there to the hearing, and then a decision probably would be for 3 or 4 months later, because it's a complex case. The CCFR asked a constitutional question, which makes everything complicated. So you're probably looking at maybe mid to late August when we have a decision. It's a lot later than we would have liked. And there's really, there's real reasons why we would have wanted a decision sooner than that, but it's what we got. So anyway, good news, something's definite in the CCFR et al. Versus Canada. All right, next thing is we submitted our final written submission or written report the CCFR has for the Mass Casualty Commission. As you guys know, we've been a participant all the way along with that. Now, we posted it on firearmrights.ca. So if you go to firearmrights.ca, or you can get there by going to ccfr.ca, scroll down, you'll see a story that Wilson put up there that has a PDF of our final report. Now, it's not that much different than the preliminary report that we did. It's just sort of a little bit of an updated version with maybe a little bit extra insight. Other than that, it's very short. I think it's like 6 or 7 pages, something like that. I will tell you one thing about that, though, is I made sure that in our participation, like we didn't participate in the Mass Casualty Commission to get our message out or to promote the CCFR or whatever. We participated to make sure that there was a perspective that looked at what happened in Nova Scotia from a realistic viewpoint, a unbiased, realistic viewpoint, and also for us to have gun owners have a voice on that commission. Because what happens is anti-gun people and all kinds, everyone that's got an issue runs into these commissions, they flood the commission, and they stand on top of the tragedies that happen, stand on top of the victims and their families and their community in order to have the megaphone for a few minutes so they can get their message out or promote their organization or tell people what they stand for, all that stuff. It, like, to me, it's nauseating, but they, almost everybody does it. And they do it almost every time there's a tragedy like this. And it's so, it just lacks such self-awareness that it's hard for me to even really describe it, right? That's why I'm kind of reaching around for words. And we led by example. And I'm hoping that that's, if you're a CCFR supporter or a member, I'm hoping that that makes you proud, because we led by example. We didn't take any of those opportunities. We were there for a reason, to provide perspective on whether access to firearms and how this individual accessed his firearms, whether that that could be mitigated using Canadian law or regulation or prevented, right? And obviously it couldn't, because he smuggled all the relevant firearms and he only had one, you know, Canadian source firearms and firearm during this whole thing. And it's unclear whether he actually shot anybody with it. So, and besides that, on top of that, you need firearm experts there, not a bunch of activists, right? And if you're going to really ask these questions and want real answers, not political answers. And of course, he could have done that, his whole spree shooting with one or two of those firearms, which he primarily made use of, you guessed it, two firearms. So anyway, so that's over. Again, you can find that report in PDF version on the website, download and have a look at it. It'd just be kind of a good thing. It's a very short read, but you can see the kind of work that we do and how we're positioning it. Anyway, and thanks to you for allowing me as an individual, because I'm the one that represented the CCFR there at the Mass Casualty Commission. I just want to thank you for just putting me in a position to do that, because it's an honor and it's a privilege. All right, that's all I've got for now. So let's bring on Wilson. All right, via Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Giltaga!
How are you?
Oh, good. Beautiful weather here in Ottawa, in the nation's capital. Fall weather.
In the nation's capital.
In the nation's capital.
All right. As usual, I always say this every time. We got tons of stuff to go through, but yet again, I guess it's a negative thing that we have so much to talk about in our business. Yeah. So we better get started. Okay, first thing we want to talk about is a handgun freeze update. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so those of you who've been watching know that the regulation, or the OIC, that was filed for the handgun freeze was filed back before the House rose for the summer. There's some filibustering going on in committee and stuff. In any event, we got the summer to do our business and do whatever we do, transfer, buy, sell, all of that good stuff. But of course, we've been warned that this could happen at any time. They were required to wait the 30 sitting days. That was up October 4th. So I've been keeping an eye on the Canada Gazette, watching for that regulation to drop. I thought it was going to drop on October 8th and it didn't. And then I actually made a post saying that I was pretty sure it was going to drop on October 12th. I'm always happy to be wrong about that kind of stuff. October 12th came and went and nothing happened. So business as usual. I'm happy to be wrong on that, and we will see. The very next regular publication of the Gazette will be out on October 26th. It's published every second Wednesday at 9 a.m., so stay tuned. But for now, go ahead, buy, sell, transfer. It's still operational.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing we need to chat about is kind of a cool thing. The Yukon put out a statement, I guess, on behalf of the provincial government, and they've joined in this rejecting the political moves of Marco Mendicino and Bill Blair and Justin Trudeau and all the rest of these people. They're rejecting them, foisting upon the provinces, upon Yukon and every other province in Canada, to actually make work their gun confiscation program that they can't make work themselves, even though it was their political promise to begin with. The Yukon joined in, so that's good news.
And then there were four. Mm-hmm. Poor Marco. He's just having a heck of a time. It's like he's got no friends at all. No provinces seem to be stepping forward to help the minister in grabbing guns from law-abiding gun owners. So you're right. The Yukon Legislative Assembly put forward a motion. Now, this is the interesting part. It was actually put forward by the official opposition in the Yukon legislature. The governing party, of course, didn't support it and voted against it. But there's enough opposition members in the legislature that they won. It passed. The motion passed. So the motion is demanding that the Liberal government ensure RCMP resources in the province are not used to help confiscate guns from legal gun owners. And that's it. So that message will be going back to Marco Mendicino. I do expect another announcement next week from a far eastern province. And yeah, the opposition continues to mount against Marco Mendicino's gun grab. So yeah, no friends.
Yeah. Poor Marco. And, I don't want to be mean or anything, but it just kind of strikes me as somebody that just wouldn't have a lot of friends. So he's taking that aggression out on the rest of us, I guess. Now, what was it? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I was on a show on Wild TV yesterday called Wild Talk, and this whole thing came up, and I think it was a comment like, you know, where are the other provinces or whatever? And I said, you know, keep in mind that when you don't hear of, you know, X province, you know, coming out against the Liberals' plan, the confiscation plan, you know, it that might not be because they support it. It might be because they're like, yeah, I don't care what the feds say. I don't care what Marco Mendicino wants to say, you know, and doing his rounds in the media. It very well could be they're like, well, when he comes to us and demands something, then we'll tell him no. Other than that, there are other things going on in Canada right now, by the way, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I know a lot of us are on social media or whatever, like, okay, well, do something Ontario or do something Quebec or do something whatever province, right? And it's like, well, or British Columbia, right? So anyway, you never know. Maybe the province will just be like, yeah, we got no time for that when the time comes. So
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So big news. Pierre Poilievre has unveiled his shadow cabinet.
Yeah. So this is a monster cabinet. So the difference between the actual cabinet, the actual ministers, and the shadow ministers are the party in power has the ministers, the party in opposition has the shadow ministers. And each one, their job is to hold the ministers of those files to account. So Pierre Poilievre released his list. It's huge. There's like 71 people on it, almost twice what the actual cabinet is. But his idea is there's no extra remuneration for being a shadow minister. There is for positions like the opposition caucus chair or the opposition house leader, but not for shadow ministers. So I think his idea is like, look, man, I'm going to put twice as many people on this. Everybody's going to be working hard. And yeah, so he's put that out. So it's pretty great. Some key positions to our file in particular, Raquel Doncho remains on as Shadow Minister for Public Safety. She does an excellent job. And she'll be working with Doug Shipley. He's the Associate Shadow Minister. Excuse me. Of course, Dane Lloyd will still retain his position on SECU, on the Public Safety Committee, but he is now the Shadow Minister for Emergency Preparedness, which means he gets to go head-to-head with Bill Blair, which I'm sure is a lot of fun. I actually put out a post saying that he wasn't going to be on SECU anymore, but that's fake news. He's absolutely going to be on there. And then finally, a really cool position that's been that Pierre made is the Shadow Minister for Hunting, Fishing, and Conservation. And of course, Blaine Calkins was appointed to that. He's been the longtime chair of the Conservative Hunting and Angling Caucus and a big advocate for our community. So congratulations to all of them being appointed. And when you look, Brian Lilly actually wrote an article and it's quite brilliant. He says, Poilievre pits the humble Tories against Trudeau's silver-spooned grits in the House of Commons. And this is totally true. When you look at the two different teams, you've got the ministers and the shadow ministers. It's sort of the conservatives look like the party of the everyday Canadian against the party of the silver spoon elite liberals. So it should be a really exciting session and I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some very, very highly qualified people in that bunch and that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the conservatives overall have been making fools of the liberals and they are, they are running scared. Well, a good example of that, and we'll just make this quick because it's, you know, we like to kind of keep it contained to firearm related issues, even though there's so much to talk about if you just want to get into politics. But, you know, this whole men going their own way, MGTOW, MGTOW or whatever you, MGTO, I don't know how you could pronounce that.
I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. This obscure hashtag used by probably 100 people. somehow getting into Pierre Poilievre's videos. Some staffer probably put that in there apparently four and a half years ago. So like, I don't know how that's news. And then you just, I guess they cut and paste all the, their hashtags in and somehow it's been in there, but it was a completely coordinated attack on the conservatives and on Pierre Poilievre, which is interesting to me because, you know, the Wikipedia page that explains what this men going their own way movement, as it were, is, was edited the same day that all of the mainstream media outlets all picked up the story and they ran and ran with it. The liberals held press conferences over this hashtag.
Yeah.
And it was at the same time as Marco Mendicino was under fire for falsifying court documents. He's a lawyer and a government minister.
Falsifying, yeah, obstruction of justice.
Yeah, falsifying court documents. And then they had a committee meeting to determine whether they're going to investigate or whatever. What happened there, if you remember? I don't know.
Yeah, that actually just happened today. So the committee met. Of course, it's stacked with liberals, and the liberals voted to not investigate the liberals. Shocking.
we've determined that we've done nothing wrong.
Right.
Just, you know, it's like that's the biggest news in Canada, and it's like a lawyer, you know, former prosecutor, for God's sakes, you know, that's falsifying court documents to get himself out of hot water, and that's not a story. That's a non-story. It just, anyway. It's
some weirdly embedded, you know, in the coding hashtag that nobody's ever heard of and nobody understands what it is. And, you know, at the end of the day, here's the thing, though, like the liberals are kind of tanking in the polls. The approval rating for Justin Trudeau is falling quicker than the leaves are outside. You know, things are not great over at Liberal HQ. And of course, with the economy crashing and gas prices going up and taxes are about to be raised, things aren't going great. So when that happens, what does this government do? They break the glass and they pull out, you know, whatever they can dig up as a scandal or gun control. So they're probably going at both here. But if they dug through Poilievre and dug through everything they could find about him, and this is what they came out with, I think that is a sure sign that they are doomed because it's a complete nothing burger.
Well, the good news is that's the scandal they have.
That's it.
You know, look at Trudeau and half of these, you know, liberal ministers. I mean, they got scandal after scandal after, I mean, massive, massive corruption. I think we agreed before we started this video that we wouldn't go off the rails. But I mean, even just look at ArriveCan. You know, it's a $250,000 app that costs $54 million.
Oh yeah.
You know, to some company that some small company that's out in cottage country with five employees in Ontario someplace. Right. And it's like, wait a second. Just, you know, I know that that politicians, I think they're reticent to investigate each other when they come into power because they're thinking, well, geez, if I make a mistake or if I start stuffing money in my own pockets, the next government will investigate me. And I don't want that because I want to get rich. And I'm not casting this on every politician, mind you. But I think they're always reticent to do that because they're afraid of the next incoming. But at some point, they got to start stopping all of this stuff. Like they have to start doing something about it. And I would really hope that that Poilievre, should he get into the driver's seat in the next couple of years, would say, you know what, we're going to investigate all this stuff. And even if anyone on the conservative side engages in this kind of tomfoolery, you're going under the bus too, because it has to stop somewhere. But
it does. We've got to rebuild trust in all of our foundations, right?
Yeah, so. For sure. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Bill C-21, kind of the update on that and the procedure maybe for people that don't know how it works.
Yeah, so the bill is actually finished second reading and it's at the committee stage for study. So what this means is the Standing Committee on Public Safety and National Security have allocated 8 meetings to hear from witnesses who will testify either in opposition or in favor for the bill. From there, it goes back to the House for third reading, a vote, and then off to the Senate, where it basically goes through the exact same thing all over again. So we have applied to speak in opposition to the bill, so you can watch for that. So far, we've only had 1 meeting out of the 8. Now, 8 may not sound like a lot, but that's the same amount that we had for C-71, and that bill took 14 months to go through the system and receive royal assent. So it is some considerable time, and anything can happen in politics between now and then. So the bill has only had 1 meeting so far. Marco Mendicino, the public safety minister, was scheduled to appear on his own, to come in, answer questions. literally the night before he was to appear, the agenda was amended, and there was a whole slew of characters added to it, because, of course, he's not going to show up alone and be held accountable to speak to this bill. So he had a whole slew of people in with him. An interesting tidbit that came out of that is NDP public safety critic Alistair McGregor brought up a really cool, interesting line of questioning surrounding Airsoft and IPSC, which was kind of neat. It also totally enraged the anti-gun lobbyists. Pauly Sussuvier made a tweet about it, you know, spazzing out. Dane Lloyd and Raquel Doncho were total superstars as usual. And a shout out to Doug Shipley for the work that he's done on it as well. So as it stands right now on the SecU website, there are no other meetings scheduled at this time. You don't normally get more than like one a week or so, but they are also studying other important things like the use of the Emergencies Act. So there's a lot of big things going on. That in itself may take probably a month or two out of the calendar. So yeah, right now as it stands, we've only heard from Marco and there's nothing scheduled in the coming days with Bill C-21. So to me, that's good news. No news is good news. The longer we can push it off, the better. But you can be guaranteed to watch for the CCFR to push to be on the witness list.
Yep, so, that's absolutely true. All right. Yeah. Well, that's all we've got for now. I appreciate the update, as I'm sure everyone does. And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode, episode 128 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Really appreciate it, everyone watching the podcast, and make sure you share it. Get the word out there. Again, as I always like to say, at least once in the podcast, you know, there's a lot going on. It feels quite negative. Our topic again, right, is almost all negative, but times are changing. Things are changing. Things are getting different. And, you know, mainstream media is super desperate. The liberals are desperate, right? Things are changing. So that pendulum is swinging. So hang in there. Don't let this stuff climb right on top of you, right? Just look at it as information to inform what you're going to have to do later when it comes to an election or what have you, or volunteering, or what, or conversations that you need to have, or whatever. Okay. Times are changing. It's going to get better. So just hang in there. Again, thanks for all your support. If you want to become a member or donate to the CCFR, you can do all that at firearmrights.ca. Don't forget to check out the CCFR's social media accounts, which are just booming thanks to our social media manager, Brandon, who's doing just a great job. There's always new videos out there. There's always more posts. There's always lots of information. So really good. Don't forget, because it's YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. I think that's, and then we have some of the other platforms as well, and Minds. So anyway, check us out. Make sure you share our stuff. Really appreciate all the help. Take care, and we'll see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.